Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ruth. Last time we were together, we started chapter number 4, and that's where we want to pick up. Last time we looked at the gate, the first point of the study here in Ruth 4 in verses 1 and 2. The second point we want to look at is the meeting. The meeting in Ruth chapter 4 in verses 3 through 6. So let's begin reading down together verses 3 through 6 in chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So here we have the meeting between Boaz, who is a kinsman to Naomi, and a nearer kinsman to Naomi, who has basically first dibs on buying the land. But not all, Boaz says, not only can you buy the land, but you also have to take Ruth the Moabitess as your wife. And of course, when it was just the land, he backed off. But when it was just the land, he was all for it to redeem it. But now Ruth is part of the deal, and he doesn't want any part of it. So we see then that Boaz informs the elders here and the nearer kinsmen that Naomi wants to sell a parcel of land. It is clear by the quick reply of this nearer kinsman that he wants the property of Naomi. In ancient Israel, families were not allowed to sell or give land outside their own family and tribe. Let's look at some references that speak to that in the Word of God. The first place I'd like to take us is over to the book of Numbers in chapter number 27, in the book of Numbers. In Numbers 27, we'll begin reading in verse 8. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. So again, here we see that they could not sell or give the land outside their own family in tribe. Also in Numbers chapter 36, Numbers 36 with me, in verses 7 through 11. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. In every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even so the Lord commanded Moses, and so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. So here we see they couldn't marry outside their tribe. The inheritance was to stay within their own family and tribe. And we see this entire issue is amplified in the story of Naboth's vineyard. Remember how, let's turn and look there in 1 Kings chapter 21, and we see there that in 1 Kings chapter 21, that Naboth owned a vineyard near where King Ahab, that wicked king of Israel, who we know his wife was Jezebel, near to where Ahab resided there, and he saw it and he wanted it. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. Now notice in 1 Kings chapter 21 in verses 1 through 4, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. That word hard means close by or next to, amen. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thine vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So Ahab, you know, says he's not just going to take it, he'll pay for it or give him a better vineyard. But notice Naboth's response. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. And he hath, and he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. That was Ahab. He was depressed because he didn't want, he couldn't get what he wanted. But we see Naboth is just following the law that was commanded to Moses by God there, that the land was not to, was to remain within his family, within his tribe. Amen. And of course, we see Jezebel, Ahab's wicked wife, come up with a scheme that gets the vineyard from Naboth. Has Naboth accused, amen, of something bad, amen, and he's killed, and we see that Ahab gets the vineyard. Once the kinsman agrees to buy the land, Boaz informs him of the monkey wrench in the deal, amen. He lets him know there is another woman involved besides Naomi, and that is Ruth the Moabitess, must also be redeemed so that children could be raised up to the name of Mahlon, of course, which was the son of Elimelech, the son of Naomi, who was married to Ruth, who had died. And then we see he immediately backs out, doesn't want any part of it. Perhaps he didn't think much of Elimelech's family, or he didn't want a woman of Moab producing some half-breed kids, marring his reputation. Or just perhaps he knew the little woman at home wouldn't pick up with it, wouldn't like it, amen? The great Bible truth exposed here is that Jesus Christ, again, literally became marred for us. See, Boaz didn't care about any of that. He loved Ruth. He didn't care marrying her would mar his reputation. The same way, as Boaz is a type of Christ, we see that Jesus Christ literally became marred for us, became of no reputation. Looking in Psalm 129, Psalm 129, in verse number 3, we read, "The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows." Prophetic psalm, talking about the beating, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ would receive, amen. His body was marred. Look in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and see what he had to say. If as he prophesied and how the Lord Jesus Christ would be marred for you and I. Chapter 50 of Isaiah, verse 6, we read, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Again, we see that Christ was literally, physically marred for you and I. And then one last place in Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. "As many were stoned at thee, his visage," amen, "his form, his face was so marred more than any man, in his form more than the sons of men." Jesus was marred, was beaten beyond recognition, more than any other man had ever or ever will be. Amen. All right, now we want to look at the third point in our lesson. Here is the act of redemption. The act of redemption. Let's go back to Ruth chapter 4 and read down together verses 7 through 12. We read, "Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." Perhaps the two most profound words in these verses are bought and purchased. Amen. Let's look at bought first. You know, as in a living organism, that the Lord went fishing, amen, he went fishing for us. Look at in Matthew chapter 13 with me. In Matthew chapter 13, in verses 45 and 46, we read, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Amen. That's a picture. The merchant man is Christ. Amen. The pearl of great price is the church. Amen. He bought the church. And there was a price to be paid. Let's look at that price that was bought with a price. Amen. Bought with a price. 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in verse number 20. We see the price, the purchase price that Christ bought the church for. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's." We see that a price was paid. We were bought with a price. And the price that was paid, amen. Let's look at 2 Peter. That price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter in chapter number 2. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." He even paid the price for the deniers, those that denied that he bought them. Amen? That's right. Look at purchase. He was bought with a price. Even though these two words, bought and purchase, may be somewhat synonymous, purchase seems to go further. Purchase has the meaning to obtain at a cost, as of suffering or sacrifice. Look what the Apostle Paul told the elders, the pastors at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He said in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Paul tells the elders at Ephesus that the church was purchased with God's own blood. And again, the purchase was made with something precious. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter with me, if you would. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we read this. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the traditions from your fathers," here it is now, "but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Amen. Perhaps the primary difference between Boaz and the other kinsmen is that Boaz loved Ruth. Amen. He loved Ruth and appears interested in what would benefit her and her family and not that which would hurt his reputation in the community. In fact, it reminds us of Christ, does it not? Look at in Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2. For just a moment, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. And we want to look at that great verse of Scripture. Amen. Look at this. Talking about Christ. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 6, 7, and 8. We read, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He didn't care about his reputation, because he loved us. Amen. He wanted to benefit you and I. He wasn't looking what was in it for him, but what was in it for you and I. Amen. Oh, what a Savior we have. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. It tells us, in beginning in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened." and you who were dead in trespasses and sin, were in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was how we were, how God found us. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now let's return to Ruth chapter 4 and look at from bitterness to blessing in verses 13, 14, and 15. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her a conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. Because of Boaz, because of his willingness to honor God's word, the Lord awards him with the highest dignity by allowing him to be in the genealogy of the Messiah. The man who refuses the opportunity of redemption sinks into oblivion, never to be heard from again. Ruth was barren until she married Boaz. The type is clear. There is no fruitfulness until redemption takes place in the individual's life. Remember what Jesus said there in the Gospel of John, that great chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So amen to that. In Christ, amen, because we're redeemed, we can now bear fruit for him. And then we see that Naomi is awarded the position of grandmother, and it is declared that this will restore her life. Let's look at the significance of a name in verses 16 and 17. Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. The neighbors named the child, which is unusual in Scripture. But Obed's name means servant. He will serve, we're told, his grandmother and his God. Amen. He is the father of Jesse. Amen. Obed will be the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. In the Word of God, we see that three births occur in Bethlehem. Rachel's son Benjamin, whose name means son of my right hand. Obed, born to Ruth, and of course Jesus Christ. Now let's conclude the chapter and look at the genealogy here. In verses 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22. Verse 18, now these are the generation of Phares. Phares beget Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now, the genealogy begins with a man named Phares, the illegitimate son of Tamar. And we know the story as recorded in Genesis 38. She played a harlot, and Judah went unto her. And as a result, Phares was born. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 2 to 3, an illegitimate son was banned from the congregation for 10 generations. Let's look at that reference. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 2 and 3. Notice what it says here. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter in the congregation of the Lord. And then it says in verse 3, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. So we find that very interesting, because here we find that the offspring of Boaz, amen, and Ruth will be half Moabitess. But we see that Ruth, Obed, amen, is here included in the genealogy, which in Christ's genealogy. So we see then here this genealogy that we just read in verses 18 through 22. The genealogy begins with an illegitimate son, Phares, and 10 names later, closes with King David. As we conclude our study in Ruth in chapter 4, what a wonderful lesson to be learned here. I'm talking about us, all of us, who were illegitimate and had no right to the family of God, have been made kings and priests of God through Jesus Christ. Talk about the grace of God, my friend. Amen. Talk about the grace of God. We had no right to the family of God, but we were redeemed. We were bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we've been made kings and priests of God through Jesus Christ to rule and reign when he returns for 1,000 years. Well, that concludes our study in the book of Ruth. I hope it's been a blessing to you that have been listening. Again, the study in the book of Ruth is available on audio cassette tape. If you'll drop me a line and let me know that you'd like the tapes, I'll send them right out to you. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, this is Pastor Gino Cassieri. My prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.